Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shmir's Halashon class learning. We are learning Lilui Nishmas on the Zeich Nishmas, so Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoav Vachana Lav Hashem. May the Neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our learning. Also, with Alyssa's permission, as Chus for continued Besoros Tovus and Refuos for Bracha Vigaya, Basrachel Gita, Besoch Shar Chalei Yisra. So I'll begin with the Tfila Al Hadibra, please. Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Mefanecha, Al Rachum Vechanun, Shetizakeni Haim Vechol Yom, Lishmar Pi Lishani Milashen Hara Rechilis, Ve'ezar Medabra, Fila Al Yish Yachid, Bekol Shekein HaKal Yisro, O Al Chilek Mehem, Bekol Shekein Lishroim Al Midosef Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ve'ezar Medabra, Divrei Sheker Chanufa Mechilkes Kaas, Gaiva Nas Dvarim, Halbanas Panim Leitzanus, Vechol Dibur Asr, Ve'zakeni Shel Ol Vedabar, Kim Davar HaTzarich Leinani Gufi, Ve'nafshi, Ve'yukol Masai Vedibur, So let us continue our learning. Okay, so where are we? We are still in Masachas Arachin, and we are talking about the sugya that deals with the sins of speech in depth. Masachas Arachin Tasvav, and that's what we are going through, taking a number of weeks, if you will, a number of classes to go through this very in-depth with added insight. So if you remember last time, the last thing we spoke about 2 weeks ago in Shir, I'm just going to quote the Gemara again, not go over what we did last time, but I'm using that as a springboard to go into the Sefer Sparkling Speech. So Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Sar Shel Gehenim, if you remember this, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the ministering angel over Gehenim, I'm focused on him from above, you are focused upon him from below, and let us judge him together. And furthermore, we quoted the Pasuk, Chitze Gibor Shununim Im Gachalei Rasamim, the sharp arrows of the mighty with the calls of Rosamud, and we spoke about this specific type of call, that's a Pasuk from Tim, that retains its heat inside, and we learn that this is how the person will be punished in Gehenim for sins of speech. Of course, we just observed or mourned on Tisha B'Av when sins of speech destroyed both the first and the second temple, as we learned in depth. So the last thing we spoke about was the punishment in Gehenim that awaits a person who is a Mesaper Lashon Hara. It's so funny because I'm reading the biography of Rav Noach Weinberg now, the founder of Eshet Torah. It's very, very interesting, but Rav Yonasan Rosenblum, I'm just still towards the beginning, but when he was starting out his yeshiva, it was a really pioneer idea to bring Kiruv to the world. And he consulted, I believe, with his rabbi, it was Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, I don't have the sefer in front of me, Zatzal, who told him three things. One was, don't talk about Gehenim. Now, this was a Kiruv program, and you're bringing people in who have no association at all with Torah and Yiddishkeit and learning. But the first piece of advice that Rav Weinberg was told was, don't talk about Gehenim, just talk about the beauty and the benefits of mitzvos and Yiddishkeit. So I thought that was very interesting because I read that last night after I had prepared the shir yesterday evening. So for us who have some sort of background, we know that there is. We have a belief in the next world, and there is two places that person can go, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said on his deathbed. I don't know which way they're taking me. Brachos chav chas amar beis, I believe. I don't know which way they're taking me, so of course I'm crying. So we see in the Gemara that there is punishment in Gehenim, and for us on our level, it's something that we are aware of. And it should not scare us off in our Avodas Hashem. Adarab, on the contrary, it should make us realize how careful we have to be when we serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the last thing we did last time is the Gemara says in Erechi that whoever speaks Lashon Hara, Hashem says to the Sar Shel Gehenim, I will punish from above, you will punish from below. And the person's punishment in Gehenim is quite terrible with cause of Rosim, which retain their heat, if you remember, inside. That's a very, very intense heat. So where am I quoting from now? The sefer called Sparkling Speech. It is a sefer by Rav Elyasha Sandler, who is a Rav Rabbi and the Rav of Ashul. He is in Far Rockaway, and he is a Rabbi, I believe, in Shar Yashuv. So this is the sefer called Sparkling Speech. So it's a whole sefer on topics of Shmiras Halasha. So when I read this in the Gemara last time, when we learned this in the Gemara, we explained it last time in depth, it reminded me of a section in Rabbi Sandler's book, and it's called a deep Gehenim, D-E-U-P, deep Gehenim. Okay. So Chazal explained, one of the punishments for those who speak Nivol Peh, Nivol Peh is a kind of chait related to Dibur. Nivol Peh is really like a debasement. Don't be a degenerate. It's a disgusting sort of speech. It's an inappropriate sort of speech. But really, all Lashon Hara is disgusting, inappropriate speech. So Chazal explained in Derech Eretz Rabbah, I'll quote you the Lashon from the footnote. Umi divrei nevela, from those who speak forbidden words, aleim hakasuv omer ki hine hayom ba bo'er kitanur. Regarding those who speak divrei nevela, about them, the pasuk says, ki hine hayom ba, behold, a day is coming, bo'er kitanur. It will be burning like a fire. Rabbi Sandler writes that this is one of the punishments for those who speak nivol peh. That is the fire of Gehenna. So regarding those who speak nivol peh, he says in English what I just told you from the footnote. Behold, a day is coming, burning as a furnace. It's a pasuk from Malachi, Perek Gimel, but Chazal explained that behold, a day is coming, burning as a furnace, is the punishment for those who are over on sins of speech. Yet they say further that for one who speaks nivol peh, so this book, Sparkling Speech, is specifically on the topic of nivol peh, but nivol peh falls under one of the categories of Shmir Salashon. When we talk about Shmir Salashon, as we've learned so extensively, we're not only talking about the strict parameter of Lashon Hara, but any kind of forbidden speech that should not come out of our mouth. Shmiras Halashon, we should be shomer, we should guard carefully what comes out of our mouth. So behold, the day is coming, burning as a furnace. Yeah, Chazal further state, for one who speaks nivol peh, the regular punishment of Gehenim is not severe enough. It's not bad enough. Rather, the Gemara warns, anyone who perverts his speech, this is from Masechet Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Aleph, anyone who perverts his speech, Gehenim is deepened for him. Deepened. As it states, a deep pit for a mouth that utters alien speech. So the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Shabbos, Kol ha-menavel es piv, whoever is menavel his mouth, ma'amikin lo es gehenim, they deepen for him gehenim. Shanemar, as the pasuk says, socha amuka pi zaros, which is a pasuk from Mishlei. I want to show you the pasuk actually that the Gemara is expanding upon. I wrote down, I made a note to screen share with you. So the pasuk says in Mishlei, stay there, Shucha, I pronounced it wrong, Shucha Amuka Pi Zaros, which is a deep pit, Shucha Amuka Pi Zaros, for anyone who utters alien speech. This is what the pasuk says from Mishlei, Parachof Beis Pasuk Yudalid, Shucha Amuka, they will dig a deep pit, Pi Zaros, for he who speaks foreign or forbidden alien speech. So when a person speaks what they're not supposed to speak, the Gemara says that this pasuk in Mishlei teaches us they will dig for him a deep pit in Gehenna. The area of Gehenna, I'm quoting from one of his footnotes. He has many footnotes in this farm. The area of Gehenna assigned to punish those who engage in speaking and listening to nivol peh is called the deep pit. So in other words, it's not just Gehenim, it's even worse, if there could be such a thing. This fact offers a revealing insight into how to properly categorize the sin of nivol peh. This is based on a teaching in Evan Shlema. The Vilna Gaon identifies, the Vilna Gaon, the great Gra, identifies two sections of Gehenim, as well as their functions. There's two different sections of Gehenim, says the Vilna Gaon. Here we go. Shnei Mekomos B'Gehenim. There are two, it was so funny, I'm telling you, listen, when I read last night that Rav Noach Weinberger was told, don't talk about Gehenim. And I had already prepared this yesterday evening, but we're not just coming to Halavai Vishal Bichos Rim B'Tshuva, really, but we're not just coming to Torah for the first time. And we do have this principle and this belief in life in the next world. We know that we are going up to be judged. So I hope that for us on our level, it's something that we could handle. And here, Nachas Hashem will turn us off, but it will be mezarez us even further to understand how valuable our sins of speech. No, did you hear what I just said? How valuable is learning about sins of speech so we can prevent ourselves from speaking inappropriately. It's had it better. Shnei mekomos b'gehenim. There are two places in Gehenim. Shucha amuka lechemda. There is a deep pit for those who need to be punished from chemda. Now, this is very interesting because we just had the Aseres HaDibros. The first time the Aseres HaDibros are told over to us in Parshas Yisro, Perek Chof of Shemos, Lo Sach Mod. is the 10th dibra. Beis reacha, eishes reacha, v'doch, amroosh, amroosh, v'chol esher reacha. And in Parshas Vaschanan, in Parakei of Devarim, when Moshe retells the Aseres HaDibros, the language is changed a little bit from lo sachmo to lo tisaveh. You shall not covet, you shall not desire. But what is the punishment for he who covets, he who desires, he who has chemda? Shucha amuka, a deep pit for those who are over lo sachmar. Bishvil shavatza lahagbia at atzmo. Why? Why did Alyssa just get kicked off by accident? I don't know. I'm going to keep going because it's being recorded, so I have to keep going. Bishvil shavatza lahagbia asmo. Someone who wants to elevate himself because he has chanda, he is going to be put down into a deep pit. Uba'er tsara l'taiva. And there will be a narrow well designed to punish those. Oh, she's coming back. There'll be a narrow well designed to punish those who have the midah of taiva, who have the midah of desire. Bishvil shirotza laharchiv nafsho, because he wanted to expand himself. Okay, Baruch Hashem, you're back, Lisa. So I'm going to translate. The Vilna Gaon says, there are two places assigned in Gehenna. One is the deep pit, which is designated to punish those who covet, chanda. It corresponds to the fact that they wish to elevate themselves. Out of envy, they wanted to elevate themselves. So, mida keneged mida, they wanted to elevate themselves through their chanda. They're put into a deep pit, very low down. The second area of Gehenna, says the Vilna Gaon, is a narrow well, be'er, well, tsara. Narrow well, like on Beinu Mitzarim, we're in the narrow streets, which is designed to punish those who lust, those who have taiva, and corresponds to the fact that people with taiva want to expand themselves, so Hashem puts them into a narrow well. So he who had chamda and wants to elevate himself, Hashem puts him very low down. He who had taiva and wants to expand himself, Hashem puts him in a very narrow well. By identifying the area of their punishment as a deep pit, Chazal are teaching us that at its root, this root of sins of speech is not primarily related to lust or desire. The root of sins of speech is not related to chamda or taiva, but rather to a degree of haughtiness. And this we know beferish from the Metzora. Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, in Perek Yedalad of the book of Vayikra, he tells us beferish that the Metzora speaks Lashon Hara because of gaiva. So there's a degree of haughtiness which leads to chamda, which leads to taiva, which leads to sin of speech. This fits very well with the assertion discussed earlier in the Sefer. Speaking nevo'peh is an abandonment of the Jewish characteristic of shame. So we know we are rachmanim by shanim and gomnei chasadim. And when someone abuses their speech, you are really losing the midah, the Jewish midah, the beautiful, commendable midah of busha. So we have just learned that the Gemara teaches in Shabbos Lamed Gimel Aleph, Kol ha-menavel espiv ma'amikin lo es gehenim. Whoever is menavel his mouth, Hashem deepens for him gehenim. Like the pasuk says in Mishle that I showed you on the screen, shucha amuka pizos. A deep pit will be dug for he who speaks foreign speech. And we quoted Rabbi Sandler, who quotes the Vilna Gaon, who says, the Gra tells us there are actually two sections in Gehenna. There is a deep pit for he who has chamda. There is a narrow well for he who has taiva, because the deep pit for one who has chamda is a person who wanted to elevate himself. So Hashem pushes them down very low. Taiva is one who wanted to expand himself, like Bilam. He was such a taiva for more and more and more. You want to expand yourself. So Hashem puts him into a very narrow well. But the root of both of these sins, Rabbi Sandler explains, based on the Vilna Gaon, is not really chamda and taiva. The root is gaiva, haughtiness. And isn't that really the root of all forbidden speech? That's the root of Lashon Hara. I'm better than somebody else, and it gives me the right to slander somebody else. So going back to the Sefer, that was just the footnotes. What is the meaning of the phrase, Gehenim is deepened for him? What does it mean when the Gemara says in Shabbos 33, Lamed Gimel, Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim? Says Rabbi Sandler, doesn't the fire of Gehenim burn through Gehenim? Is there a difference between the regular level of Gehenna and the deep level of Gehenna? What does this mean? Why are we talking about this? I hope everyone remembers how I began here. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erechin, like we learned in depth 2 weeks ago, that Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sar Shel Gehenna, Ani Alav Milamata, Va'ata Alav, Ani Alav Milamala, Va'ata Alav Milamata. We spoke about that. So remember, why are we talking about this at all? Because the last piece we did in the Gemara tells us that Hashem says to the Sar Shel Gehenna, I'm above him, you are below him, let's judge him together with coals of rosin. So Rabbi Sandler says, what do you mean that for someone who is menavel his peeve, who trashes his mouth, And it's not just saying curse words that with I can trash my mouth. I could trash my mouth with speaking meitzanos, like we said in the Tfilah Dibur, ka'as, certainly, onas dvarim, habanas panim, leitzanos, rechilos. So what do you mean Gehenim is deepened? What does it mean? Isn't there one level of Gehenim? Gehenim is Gehenim. So Rabbi Sandler answers, it is explained in the Torah's Chaim, the heat in Gehenim is not evenly distributed. Rather, the closer you get to the surface, the less intense it is. Thus, by stating that Gehenim is deepened for one who speaks Nivopah, the Gemara is intimating that the harshness of the punishment is significantly more severe for sins of speech. So one who is menavel his piv, who makes his mouth disgusting, who makes his mouth full of trash, who uses his speech for inappropriate purposes, will actually be, like we saw that the Vilna Gaon discusses, in a deeper section of Gehenim than someone who does other sins, because the fires of Gehenim apparently, Chalila, we should never know, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, that the fires of Gehenim are different levels, and the closer you get to the surface, the less severe it is. Drawing upon this premise, Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer Zatzal explains a difficult nuance in the Gemara. The Gemara does not simply state one who speaks Nivopah is placed in a deep spot in Gehenim. It's not just the one who speaks, who is menavel his piv, is placed in a deep spot in Gehenim. Rather, Gehenim is deepened for him. Like you saw, the Gemara says, I quoted it for you, didn't see, but I told you, ma'amikin lo es Gehenim. It doesn't mean he is put in a deep place. That's not what it says. Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim. Gehenim is deepened for him. So Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer explains, he's not just put in a deep spot. Gehenim is deepened for him. And Rav Isra Zalman writes as follows, and I'm going to screen share this with you, so because it's a bit of a longer excerpt in the Lashon HaKodesh, not so long, but a little bit long. I want you to be able to see it for yourself. Okay, so this is the footnote from the Sefer Sparkling Speech, on page 114 for your reference. So, we're looking at footnote number 19. Mishulchano shel Rabbeinu, this is the teaching of Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer. Could you see? Alyssa, you're the only person here I could see. Could you see on the screen? Yeah? Okay. Kolach hahergel ka tavua ba'adam ad sha'afilu legabe onche gehenim. I'm going to translate, okay? She'ei, I just want to finish the sentence. Koach hahergel, ko tivo ba'adam, ad shafil gabe onche gehenim, she'ein lo musag behem, yesh chashash, shaharasha yisragel aleihem. If we were in person, I would ask you, what did the Rebbe of Isra Zalman Meltzer just write? Since we're not, I'm just going to translate it for you. It's very powerful. The way of habit is that the nature of man is, even regarding the punishment in Gehenim, that you can't even imagine that somebody would become accustomed to, there is a suspicion, a chashash, that the Rasha will become accustomed to it. The way of life, the way of human nature is, it's actually a bracha on this world. Hashem allows us to be accustomed, to become accustomed to difficult situations. Why is it a bracha? Because otherwise everyone would just give up when the going got tough. Hashem gave us a certain tenacity to be able to withstand difficult situations. You know, yesterday we went to a Target, and sometimes I just look around the stores and you see everyone in masks, and I said, you feel like you landed on a different planet. Like, it's so bizarre now. And Hashem, we daven, of course we're davening for Yeshua. But Hashem gives us a certain koach to adjust, because if we couldn't adjust to difficult situations, we wouldn't be able to live through life. So koach hahergel ko tivo ba'adam, so the way of habit is that it is implanted in the nature of man, that even afilu legab be'onche gehenim, even regarding the punishments of Gehenim, you can never imagine that somebody would become accustomed to this. Yesh chashash, there is a thought that a Rasha will become accustomed to the fires of Gehenim. V'lachin, and therefore, dochvim oso shuv v'shuv. Remember, this is Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer. This is the footnote in Sparking Speech. V'lachin, dochvim oso shuv v'shuv. L'ma'amakei ha-Gehenim od v'od. And therefore, it's not enough to leave the Rasha on the level of Gehenim where he is, because what will happen? He might get used to where he is. And so they push him further and further into the depths of Gehenim, more and more. So he should not become accustomed to his horrific situation. But since man has an ability to adjust, even to difficult situations, so it happens to be that even in Gehenna, the Rasha may become accustomed. So what do they have to do? Ma'amikin lo eskayim. This is how Rabbi Zalman Melzer explains the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. For those who are menavel espiv, they don't leave him on the level. They deepen it deeper and deeper, so that he should not become accustomed to this unbelievably awesome, not in a positive way, situation. Even in this regard, in regard to giving a heavenly accounting, and you have to provide, you're going to be judged and accountable, and there's going to be terrible punishments. Even to din v'chashbon, even to onashim no ra'um, even when you have to give an accounting in the heavenly world of truth, even for terrible punishments, you have to, God deepens for him, he renews for him. Gehenim, over and over, ma'amakim lo eskenim. That's what it means, says Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, that we deepen Gehenim for him. This is very powerful, and obviously very difficult. So that's what Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer explains. Furthermore, the Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Sandler brings an additional photo, the Ben Ish Chai offers his own novel insight. By the way, don't forget the chat feature. If you have any questions or comments, please use the chat, and you're welcome to post and ask and comment and whatever you want to say. Okay? Lifamim molichim neshamas hatzadikim al pesach gehenem. Listen to this. This is the Ben Ish Chai who tells us in the Ben Yehoyada Shabbos on the same Gemara. Lifamim, sometimes, molichim neshamas hatzadikim al pesach gehenem. They walk the neshamas, the souls of the righteous, over the entrance to gehenem. Kedei limshoch misham neshamas lohotziam, in order to pull out from there souls. This is very, very esoteric. It's very difficult for us, for me, on my low level, to comprehend this exactly. But there is din v'chashbon in the Olam HaEmes. Beres nachas ruach. There's the punishments of Gehenna. And if we open our mouth to be menavel or piv, so the rabbis, chazal, our leaders, the gedolim, teach us what will happen. Lefamim molichim neshamas hatzadikim al pesach gehenem kedei limshoch misham neshamas lotziam. Sometimes they walk the souls of the righteous over the entrance to Gehenem today, so that they could pull out from their souls. V'lakein, and therefore, elu shenodim sham, afilu she'ein koltim osam, yeishlam nachas ruach, v'hana'a min neshamas hatzadik, olveres kenegdam. And therefore, I said, I'm going to translate it, those who are banished, nod, v'nad, Cain, after he killed Hevel, was banished to become a wanderer. It's also the shorash, by the way, of the word nida. In Perek Dalet, Bereishis, after Cain kills Hevel, he is punished with being a wanderer. Hashem makes him an os the Cain. He says, Nod v'nad, you have to be a wanderer. Nun Dalet is also the shorash for nida, because a woman is wandering away from, not technically, but she's banished from, she's banned from her husband for that time that she's a nida. Just an interesting connection between Shavashim. And therefore, those that are banished in Gehenem, afilu she'en koltimosim, even if the tzaddik does not gather him to come out of Gehenem, he still has some nachas ruach, the neshama in Gehenem still has some contentment of the soul and pleasure from the neshama of the tzaddik who walks past him. So you can imagine the people who have the front row seats in Gehenem, it sounds terrible, but people who have the front row seats in Gehenem, when the tzaddik comes to take some of the neshamas out of Gehenem, even if that person is not chosen, he will still have some nachas ruach from the fact that the tzaddik is walking in front of him. Kemo adam sheyoshiv betokev hashemesh v'tzar lo ma'od. Im yamor adam kenegdo ma'ah. He gives a mashal, like a man who is sitting in the period when the sun is at its peak in the sky, and you're boiling hot. If someone will come and stand before you, even a little bit, he'll give you some shade, you will have pleasure. So you're sitting in the boiling sun, and there's no trees, and you're passing out, and somebody comes and stands before you. Oy, Baruch Hashem, it's not full relief, it's not air conditioned on 66 degrees, blasting the fan on high, but there's someone standing in front of me, and that shade gives me a little bit of nachas ruach, a little bit of contentment and relief from the sun. So this is the mashal, the people in the front row seats of Gehenem, when the tzaddik passes by, even if they're not pulled out, says the Ben Ish Chai, they're going to have some cooling relief from the fact that the tzaddik passed by them. V'chein im yinashev eza ruach tov l'fisha yana, and therefore, if there will be some change in this good spirit according to the hour, he will have pleasure. So in other words, if the tzaddik comes and he stands there, he will have some pleasure. V'chein harashayim nemi mimasha over tzaddik, and therefore the rasha will have pleasure from when the tzaddik walks by. Aval zeshem amikim lo eskeherem. So you could understand where the Ben Ish Chai is going with this. For those that Gehenim is deepened, so what's the problem? Are you going to have any benefit? You're not going to be able to benefit from the shade of that passerby, that over Vashav, when you're sitting on the boiling side. You're too far away to benefit. For those that they deepen Gehenim, who misrache karb mimi pesach Gehenim, he is far, far away to the entrance of Gehenim. Ve'ein magil lo hana, and therefore does he get any pleasure? Mitzad ha'overes nefashos ha'tzadikim al pesach Gehenim. He will not have any pleasure from the fact that the tzaddik passes by the entrance to Gehenim. It's not going to help him. Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim. He was menavel his piv, who makes his mouth a degenerate, a disgusting, a trash, who doesn't use it appropriately, he will be pushed down to the depths of Gehenim. So that says the Ben Ish Chai, he will not even benefit. He won't have any nachas ruach. He won't have any cooling shade. But when the tzaddik passed by, because he's so deep down, ein magilo hana'am mitzad ha'averis nefashos ha'tzadikim ha'pesach Gehenim. There is no hana that comes to him when the souls of the tzaddik pass by the entrance to Gehenim. That's what the Ben Ish Chai says. And don't forget, Isra Zalman Meltzer says, we become accustomed to things. So they both explain the Gemara a little bit differently. Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer says, it is human nature, in the first piece that we did, to become accustomed to even difficulties. So it's possible that even the Rasha will become accustomed to Gehenim. But as someone who is over on Menavel his Piv, like the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos 33a, Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim, Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer says, they will always make it worse and worse. So he could never become accustomed to the punishments of Gehenim. And the Ben Ish Chai says, Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim, they make sure he doesn't have front row seat, so that when the tzaddik passes by, he will not have any benefit from the tzaddik as if he is sitting in the shade. Whew. Furthermore, we quoted the Gra, I'm just reviewing, there are two places in Gehenim, the deep pit, for one who's over the sin of Chemda, he wanted to raise himself up, so Hashem puts him down. And the narrow well, Be'er Meitzar, Be'er Tzara, for those who had taiva, he wanted to widen himself like Bilam. He had a broad soul, so Hashem puts him in a narrow space. And that's how the Vilna Gaon explains these two different sections of Gehenim. So, we see from here, right, Rabbi Sandler, the phrase Gehenim is deepened for him, Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim, refers to constant worsening of the punishment. It is human nature that when one is suffering from a stable level of pain, eventually becomes desensitized to the pain and stops feeling it with the same intensity. Therefore, the Gemara specifies, the Gehenim of one who speaks Nivul Per is constantly getting deeper and deeper. Ma'amikin lo es Gehenim. Worse and worse, as we have seen what the Gra says, we have seen what Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer says, and we have seen what the Ben Ish Chai says, Chusam Yagen Eledu. So the person has no chance to become inured to the pain. Rabbi Sandler concludes and he says, speaking Nivul Peh is something that comes at a great price. Doing so wreaks havoc and results in devastation that could have been avoided had we not spoken or listened to forbidden words. The knowledge of impending calamities, premature death, God forbid, bad things, reversal of reward for a lifetime of good deeds, and the deepening of Gehenim should certainly serve as a deterrent to steer clear of the sin. So I actually wanted to share two insights with you that came to mind when I was going over these pieces. The first is from the Rabbi Pesach Kron Haggadah, which came out this year. I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not. Very nice insight. It's like one of the Magid books, really. He has many stories. Oh, Alyssa's nodding yes, so you read it, Alyssa. Some of it. So it's really like the Magid book. Some of the stories in here were told over in his other books, Journey of the Magid, Splendor of the Magid, etc. But I enjoyed it still very much, and we could all use a reminder. So it's interesting. There's an insight that he tells in here that relates exactly to something that we just saw. Rav Isra Zalman Meltzer said that a person becomes accustomed to things, and Hashem will make sure in Gehenim that he who has menavel his piv does not become accustomed to the punishment, and therefore ma'amikin lo es Gehenim. So you have to hear Rabbi Pesach Kron write. So this is at the Magid Seder, if you have any, you want to know what page I'm on, page 138. Okay? Rav Shlomo Zalman Friedman, the Av Basin of Santov, told me the following story. Okay, Anshel Freilach changed his name. A chassid of the square rabbi lived in a non-Jewish neighborhood. This was before a new square was established in 1954. Offended by the mode of dress and general behavior of his neighbors, Anshel wondered if he should move. He consulted his rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Twersky, 1899-1968, the square rabbi, explaining he was concerned his neighbors could have a negative effect on the chinuch of his children. The rabbi told him, "Don't worry, things will be good." Every once in a while, Anshel mentioned to the rabbi he was concerned his children would not grow up to be Elach Yidden in this environment. Each time the rabbi told him, "It's okay, it will be good." Close to a year went by. The rabbi had not heard from Anshel. Concerned, the rabbi asked his gabbai, Rabbi Unger, to inquire about Anshel's well-being. The gabbai called Anshel. Anshel said things were working out. He and his family had acclimated to the neighborhood. Upon hearing this report, the rabbi asked his gabbai to tell Anshel the rabbi wants to see him. When Anshel arrived, the square rabbi said, "It's time for you to move." Anshel was startled. "That rabbi," he said mildly, "I asked so many times. The rabbi always comforted me. You said it would be good. The rabbi said it would be good. Why the change?" The rabbi explained, "As long as you could not accept your surroundings and you were worried for the chinuch of your children, I knew you would be vigilant not to let outside influences affect you and your family. But now you say you and your family have become comfortable with your surroundings. If so, now there's danger that you or your children should be influenced by the conduct of your neighbors. It's time to move." And so the point of the story is that you see a person can become acclimated to something. But sometimes it's good to become acclimated. It helps us cope. Sometimes it's good to not become acclimated. In Gehenim, Chalila V'chas, Hashem says, "For those who are menavel piv, I will not let them become acclimated." One second. But what does this have to do? Why is this brought down the Rabbi Pesach Kohen Haggadah? Because you see this very idea in the Torah itself. In Sefer Shemos, beginning of Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav, you have the Arba Lashonos of Geula. Vahotzesi, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti. Vahotzesi, the first Lashon of Geula. I'm in Perek Vav of the book of Shemos. Pasuk Vav, 6:6. Lachein emar levnei Yisrael, God says to Moshe, tell the Bnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Votzesi eschem mitachos sivlot mitrayim, vitzalti eschem v'algaalti eschem. Behold, tell the Bnei Yisrael, I am Hashem, I will take them out from under the sivlos mitrayim. So it's translated as the burden, saval, the burden of Egypt. But Rabbi Pesach Kohen brings a beautiful insight. The word sivlos also means toleration. When Hashem saw the Jews could tolerate living in Egypt, when it no longer really disturbed them, when they figured this is just how it has to be, when they acclimated to living in Egypt, then it was time for them to leave. Votzesi eschem mitachos sivlos Mitzrayim. When you become complacent, when it's too good, when you begin to tolerate living there, Hashem says now it's time to move, because like we saw in of Yisra Zalman Meltzer, human nature is to become acclimated. I'll tell you, our Pesach Kohen brings us down, it's on page 140, and this year around Pesach time also, I heard of Shai Shechter quote this Varda Nashir. I think he was quoting it from, he said Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, who told it to him. Motzesi eschem mitachos sivlos Mitzrayim means when you become acclimated, now it's time to leave. When you tolerate where you are, now we have to go. Rabbi Pesach Kohen says, we who live in Galus must constantly be careful not to lower our standards to the surrounding secular world. As someone once said, it will be easier to take the Jews out of Galus than to take Galus out of the Jews. Indeed, Chazal tell us, the reason the Jews merited redemption was because Shelo Shinu Es Shemam Ve'es L'Shonam. How beautifully this brings Shir together. It's unbelievable. It's such... I said many times, I really see a lot of Siyat for the Shemayim when I'm preparing Shir. I didn't remember how Rabbi Pesach Kohen ends. I just remembered the word about Mitachos Sivlos Mitzrayim, which relates exactly to what we learned by Rav Yisra Zalman Meltzer, speaking about the punishment in Gehenna. But how does he end? The merit of redemption comes, Shelo Shinu Es Shemam Ve'es L'Shonam. It's brought down two places in the Medrash, Vayikra Baba and Bamidbar Rabba. They were not Sovel Mitzrayim. And when we began to be Sovel Mitzrayim, Hashem said, now we need to leave. The Square Rabba said, now you're not complaining, now you're not asking me, now you become accustomed to your neighborhood, now you have to go. Machmana Litzlan, the opposite side of the coin. Even a Rasha could become acclimated to Gehenna. Hashem will make sure as a punishment, Remenam Vol Piv, you will never become acclimated, the Chas Hashem will always be deeper. But as soon as there was a danger, they were beginning to tolerate Egypt. Hashem had to hasten the redemption. One more thing this reminded me of. I'm quoting from Emuna with Love and Chicken Soup, the Hani Machas biography. If anyone didn't read it, you should read it. David O. Many people in this book do not have their real name, some do. David O., who considered Henny his spiritual mother, imagined this scene of Henny's foray into the next world. So, you know, it was always a very nice story, but after learning these sources, both the Gemara and Erechin, and this section from Sparkling Speech, Rabbi Sander quotes many important insights, this story really came to mind about Henny Machas, and it has much different meaning for me now, after understanding these sources that we have explored in today's shiur. David O., doesn't give a full name, who considered Henny his spiritual mother, imagine this scene of Rabbitson Machlis' foray into the next world. By the way, this is right at the end of the book, almost the last, it's on page 544, okay, at the end. And he says, this is what he said. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that certain sinners who are called Poshe Yisrael Begufan, sinners of Israel with their body, after they die, they will be burned. Their ashes will be scattered under the heels of the tzaddikim. In the Sefer Asar Ma'amaros, the Ramami Pana writes, it's not negative. It doesn't mean the tzaddikim will trample these unfortunate souls. It means the tzaddikim will go into the Valley of Tears, where the Rishayim are suffering. They will shed tears for those poor souls being punished. The tears of the tzaddikim will mix with the tears of the Rishayim. Hashem will have mercy on them and bring them to the level of the tzaddikim. This reminds me of the Ben Ishchai Pshah. The first one, well, the story about Mitachas Tuvos Mitzrayim, the Ha'ar of Mitachas Tuvos Mitzrayim, reminds me of Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer says, that people can become acclimated to anything, even Shibud Mitzrayim, even living in a non-Jewish neighborhood, La'avdil, even the fires of Gehenna. But if you remember, the Ben Ishchai teaches us that tzaddikim will pass by the front of Gehenna and bring some cooling shade and relief to those who are sitting on the front. Those who are menavel pi will be so deep in ma'amikinu eskenem, they won't even benefit from the tzaddikim who come to pass by. So going back now to the Hani Machas biography. Tzaddikim will go into the Valley of Tears, where the Rishayim are suffering. The tzaddikim will cry for those poor souls being punished. The tears of the tzaddikim will mix with the tears of the Rishayim. Hashem will have mercy on them and bring them to the level of the tzaddikim. I would like to suggest, said David O, based on this insight of the Gemara, that for Rabbitson Machas, she is unique because she is shedding tears of pride. After the Su'uda in heaven, where the Rebbetzin will surely be a guest, this was said after her Patira, the Rebbetzin will walk through Gehenna. And we saw that from the Ben Ishchai, that the Tzaddikim will walk before Gehenna. The Rebbetzin will be a guest at the Su'uda in Shemayim, and then she will walk through the Gehenna with a smile. And she will say with her Ayin Tova, and the Ayin Tova is how we counteract sins of speech. Look, she will say to that wretched soul, you benched once in your lifetime. That's such a big accomplishment. Wow, a few times you honored your parents. We're so proud of you. And she will cry, but she will cry tears of joy and pride. That just like in this world, she brought people to be tzaddikim. And the next world, those tears of joy and pride in someone who benched one time will bring about the mercy of Hashem and uplift these souls to be tzaddikim. What about the bereft soul she left behind? Her daughter Sarah declared, more than leaving us diamonds, my mother left us tefillah and emunah. She didn't leave me here alone. She left me here with Hashem. So we are not just coming to Torah for the first time in our lives, Baruch Hashem. We do have a background. Obviously, there's a whole world to learn. There's so much more we have to learn all the time. But this is part of Avodas Hashem. And there is a concept of Schar Onesh. And there is a concept of deepening of Gehenim as brought down in the Gemara and Shabbos. And we explained it according to the Gra, according to Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer, according to the Ben Ishchai. And specifically, the Gemara says that someone who is menavel his piv, causes his mouth to be like trash, which doesn't only mean, again, using curse words. Anytime you use your mouth inappropriately, we began talking about kaas, leitzanus, v'chol dibra aser. So we are not using our mouth the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to use our mouth. So if we could but contemplate a teeny tiny hair's breadth of a fraction of what awaits those who are menavel piv in the next world, ma'amikin lo eskehenem, I would never say anything negative at all. Problem is, our minds are small and we forget. But we have to be mechazik ourselves, and that's why we learn. Okay, Chavetz Chaim, a lesson a day. I guess no one had any questions or comments because there was no on the chat. Okay. I hope that means everything was clear and it was explained well. When an act is justified, speaking rechilus is prohibited, even when it is made clear that the act committed was totally justified. So it's prohibited to speak rechilus, even when it's clear that the act committed was totally justified. Therefore, it's forbidden to tell someone that another person spoke negatively about him, even l'to elas. Perhaps because it will cause such a divide and such a lack of shalom, such machlokas. Moreover, it is forbidden to tell someone another person spoke negatively upon the advice of the posek. People tend to bear ill will towards those who speak against them, even when it's obvious that the speaker is justified in doing so. So the negative feeling can never be removed from the heart. So it seems that, based on this, it doesn't seem to be that there's a time when it's appropriate to speak rechilas, even if it's l'to elas, even if it's totally justified, because those feelings of negativity and animosity, once you find out someone said something negative about you, the truth is it's hard to remove it from your mind. You can never forget about it. And how will you overcome those feelings of sina and kina and hatred and resentment to the person who spoke negatively about you? And therefore, it is forbidden to tell someone another person spoke negatively, even the to'alas, even upon the advice of a posek. Wow. One more. Committees and courts. The prohibition against speaking rechilus is highly relevant when a committee meets to consider an individual for enrollment in a school, employment in a firm, or appointment to communal or organizational position. Whether or not the final outcome is in the person's favor, it is forbidden to divulge the identity of anyone who expressed an opinion against that person. Cannot say, so-and-so said this about you. It is wrong for a member of the committee to tell the candidate, I was on your side, but I was outvoted by colleague whoever. The same, because then they know they didn't get into the school because of the rechilas, or they didn't get that position, or they didn't get onto the board. And then how are you ever going to work out the resentment and the sina that will arise from the situation? The same would apply when a Beis Din considers a case and comes to the decision against the party. It is forbidden for any of the judges to state the ruling was unanimous, or which judge sided with which party, or to even say, I voted in your favor but was outnumbered, because this implies that those people voted or spoke against you. It is natural for people to harbor ill will towards those who ruled against them. So we see when it comes to Achilles how careful we have to be. It's not just the forbidden words, but it's the feeling of sina and hatred and machlokas, division between brothers that will arise, that really can never be overcome. And therefore, even the to'alas, or even when you're considering someone for a school, or opposition, or the base, then we have to be very, very careful. You can't even say, it seems innocent, I voted for you, but everyone else voted against you. What does that mean? They spoke negatively and you would not be accepted. So with this, we conclude today's shiur. There's a lot to think about. There's a comment. Thank you very much for sharing. It's very real. Yeah, so bring multi-pronged cheer. Thank you for joining. And Ba'azos Hashem, Tvarim Hayotzim Min HaLev Nechasim HaLev. I mean that to myself. Where does it come from? My heart. So enter my own heart. If you want to be mechazik along with me, then call Kabbalah. We thank the Axelrod family very, very much. It should be a schos for an aliyah neshama for your father, Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoav V'chana, Allah Hashem. And it should bring only besurs tovos and simchas and schosim l'tova to you and your entire family.